From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of November 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, USDA is projecting a 19% increase in net farm income for this calendar year. RMA says soybean and corn growers could see a pretty good sized drop in their crop insurance bills next year. And the trustee liquidating MF Global has asked the judge to release another $2 billion in customer funds. Dave Dickey will be along with these and many more ag news stories in a moment, and then I'll tell you how grain farms with a higher percentage of their acres cash rented will have much lower incomes when commodity prices decline than farms with lower percentages of cash rented acres. And as we close out our program today, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures for the soft red winter wheat finished at $5.95¾ in the December contract, a penny and a quarter higher. July 6.42, down 1¾. The hard red 6.78½ in Kansas City, down 8½ cents for the day. July corn futures back in Chicago 6.01¼. 3¼ higher. March futures $6.08, up 2½. The May at 6.15¼. 2¾ higher. July 6.18¾, up 3. September 5.74¾, up 2 cents. And December corn of 2012, $5.52, up 2 for the day. January beans, $11.31¼, up 6¼. The March at $11.41, up 6. May futures, $11.51, a settlement price, up 6¼. July at $11.59¾, up 5¾. And November beans at $11.46¾, 5¾ higher. December bean meal, $2.90.40, up $4.30. December bean oil at $49.27, 9 cents higher on the afternoon. The mercantile exchange numbers finished December live cattle at $1.21.60, up $1.02½. January feeders at $1.46.25, up $1.20. And the lean hogs at $88.17½, up $0.17½. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, January contract, $100.28 a barrel, up 49 cents. Ethanol at 248¼, that's a tenth of a cent lower. Natural gas at 356½, down 6⅛%. Heating oil or diesel fuel just about flat or unchanged at $3.02¼. And the gold futures on the day up $32.10 at $1,745.50 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has gained an impressive 379 points at this hour at 11,934. And the dollar at 78.38 is down 0.62 for the afternoon. The CRB index at 313.8, up 3.3. Here's what the weather forecast is calling for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high near 40 degrees, west-southwest winds between 6 and 8 miles an hour tonight, partly cloudy. A low of just 24 degrees, south-southwest winds at 6 to 8. Thursday, sunny skies and a high near 44. South-southwest winds at 7 to 10. And Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 27. Northwest winds at 7 to 9. And Friday, partly sunny, a high near 40 degrees. North winds between 6 and 9. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 29. Saturday, a 30% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a high of 45. Saturday night, rain likely, cloudy, a low of 37. On Sunday, it should rain, mostly cloudy, a high of 42, and Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 25 degrees. Monday day, mostly sunny, a high of 35, and Monday night, partly cloudy, a low of 22. Tuesday of next week should show us sunny skies with a high near 31 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast closer to the bottom of the half hour when we talk with Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace as you view it today.
Well, a couple of days ago, there was an important meeting with the finance ministers of Europe and the White House, and Hillary Rodham Clinton was there, and Geithner was there, and, of course, the president was there. And basically, it unfolds that there was going to be a massive need of borrowing tons of U.S. dollars into the European economic system. And overnight, early a.m. this morning, the Chinese basically lowered their amount of money required by their banks to be held in reserve a half a percentage point. And, of course, it was announced this massive exchange of euros for U.S. dollars announced at early a.m. And, of course, we did see a higher opening in corn, soybeans, and wheat, the U.S. stock market, crude oil, gold and silver. And we did see corn at one particular time, I think it was up about 12, 14 cents there, and, you know, it did erode, but still close stronger. There might be a little dry area in Mexico that people are concerned with, but the major factor here, of course, is the currency and the major economic problems in Europe was all top of the talk on the financial wires.
Well, oftentimes the market reacts and then it thinks about it for a while and has a different opinion. What's your opinion of what the world governments have done in pumping more money into the European economy?
Well, it was a necessary item, and the Chinese wouldn't do it, the Russians wouldn't do it, and there was no other central monetary system that could handle it other than the U.S. Federal Reserve, which is a statement in itself. It's the best team in the world to handle financial problems. Over the weekend, I did listen to Commodity Week, and as usual, you did a wonderful job, and I agree wholeheartedly with your panel members saying that we probably have to lower our sights on our corn and soybean prices this year. There's just too much competition out there, probably too much acreage next year. We do see land prices. There was, close to a record land sale at $10,975 in Coles County. There's going to be a barn burner in Newman, Illinois, tomorrow morning, and it's going to set the stage of what, prices are going to do. So, you know, there's no backing away from the farmer has been successful this last year. And the bottom line is that maybe $6 corn and $11 soybeans isn't such a bad pill to take in the third place.
All right. And what do you think for the commodity markets and pricing of old crop? Are you going to sell it then?
Well, I think we have to maximize those prices a little bit. And a creative commodity broker can go up 25, 50 cents and write calls and or go down and write puts, depending on how sophisticated you are. But the other deal is that, you know, the Forbes magazine said one creative tool that any trader or investor has to take advantage of is volatility. And we did see this volatility in trading tools and trading ranges. So instead of buying something and waiting 6 months for higher prices, you probably can trade it 13 times and equal as much money as a major bull or a major bear market. So we are going to see trading markets,
right.
And you have to take full advantage of it if you do want to get that extra 25 cents. But the major problem here is that we have a problem with demand in the U.S., both on corn and soybeans. I think the Brazilian farmer and exporter has been selling, 3 months of supply of beans that normally takes 9 months to, 12 months to move out of their country. So they're forcing every bushel of beans out of their country and have hurt U.S. corn and soybean demand as a result.
So am I right in the idea that short crop, long tail this time around includes a lot of volatility as opposed to kind of the smooth, maybe almost sharp sometimes, but a pretty smooth downward curve?
I think the big factor here is the thing that's really supportive to the corn market is that the very small U.S. carryover, and it's going to be another year down before the U.S. has a big supply of corn, so to speak. But unfortunately, these higher prices have sent a major message to other world producers that, like the Ukraine and India is even selling rice and wheat out in their marketplace. This year, normally the Ukraine sells 5 million tons a year. This year they're selling 13 million tons of corn. So we do have a tremendous competitive nature here and program that we have to compete with. And thank goodness we still have pretty good livestock prices and pretty good ethanol prices. And that's helping cushioning this, these price drops.
At least for this part of the calendar year, or at least 2012. But when you turn to 2011, but when you turn to 2012, do you think that either of those will change? Because all the cattle that are in the feedlots that came out of Texas will go to market. I don't know whether they'll be replaced. And then, of course, we're at the top end of the ethanol market. In fact, I think we read a story yesterday where possibly the blend wall has been hit.
Well, and I'm sure if somebody would go and say, I want to borrow $100 million to build a new ethanol plant, it would be a hard one to market on Wall Street. But I think the big factor here is that there is sugar, corn sweetener demand. There's also this ethanol demand. There is definitely a feeling that we are going to expand our acreage next year, both in corn, soybeans, and wheat. So we're going to have a plentiful supply, but I still think that we are going to see a lot of demand, from our livestock industry and also our industrial usage here in the U.S. And that's going to be the big carrier. Unfortunately, it's going to be harder to sell corn, soybeans, and wheat in the world market.
Thanks so much for taking the time
with us today. Have a profitable day.
You too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of 5 Illinois Farm Economics Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, don't forget, you can always find our programming online at WILLAG.org, on your smartphone at m.WILLAG.org, or just dial this number, 217-333-3434. We post our programming to the websites and to the phone not long after it airs on our radio stations. Now here's Dave Dickey, your Director of Ag Programming, with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, USDA says record high prices for crops and livestock will lift U.S. farm income 19% this year, which for the first time will top $100 billion. But the rate of gain for farm income was slower than in 2010, when net cash income rose by 21%, and USDA's forecast of 2011 net cash farm income at $109.8 billion was lower than the $114.8 billion estimated on August 31st. One reason was rapidly growing production costs, up 12% this year at a record $320 billion, compared to a 2% rise in 2010. Farmland and building values are forecast to rise by an average of 6.8% this year, following a 6.6% gain in 2010. USDA's Risk Management Agency says that Midwest corn and soybean growers could see savings of $2 to $3.50 an acre on their crop insurance premiums next year after USDA's Risk Management Agency re-rated the two crops using a new formula. RMA announced the results of the re-rating using a 20-year rolling average. On average, the new rates should reduce corn farmers' rates by 7% and soybean farmers by 9%. Other crops will begin to be re-rated in 2013, including wheat and cotton. The trustee liquidating MF Global Holdings broker-dealer unit asked a federal bankruptcy judge to authorize the distribution of as much as $2.1 billion to about 36,000 former commodity customers, roughly doubling the total payout to $4.1 billion. The payout could provide further relief for customers whose money has been in limbo for a month. MF Global filed for Chapter 11 protection after the New York-based company revealed a $6.3 billion bet on European sovereign debt. Federal investigators are still looking for missing customer funds, estimated to total in the hundreds of millions of dollars. The World Meteorological Organization says the world is getting hotter, with 2011 as one of the warmest years on record. This year, the global climate was influenced heavily by the strong La Niña, a natural phenomenon usually linked to extreme weather in Asia Pacific, South America, and Africa. One of the strongest such events in 60 years, it was closely associated with the drought in East Africa and the U.S., as well as severe flooding in other parts of the world. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Up next, grain farms with a higher percentage of their acres cash rented will have much lower incomes when commodity prices decline than farms with lower percentages of cash rented acres. The Ag Economist at Illinois have run four different price scenarios to see how cash renting affects the net income of a 1,200-acre grain farm in the state. The farm has expected yields of 187 bushels of corn to the acre and 54 for the soybeans. It grows corn on two-thirds of the acres and has non-land cost of $546 per acre for corn and $306 for soybeans. It also has a $480,000 debt load. The four price scenarios are projected 2012 prices of $5.40 for corn, $11.70 for soybeans, long-run prices of $4.50 for corn and $10.50 for soybeans, low price years at $3.50 and $8.20, and very poor price years at $3 and $7, respectively. Now, here's how the University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnitke says the comparison farms' cash rent mixes were set up.
We took a typical farm which had 10% owned, 30% share rent, and 60% cash rent acres, and that's about the cash rent splits that exist out there. And then we went to 100% cash rent just to see how the cash rent farm would compare to a typical farm.
And here is how the comparison farms performed.
At the 2012 projected prices, the typical farm had $222,000 of income. The 100% cash rent farm with $275 cash rent had $200,000. So those are reasonably close together, those price levels. When we go down to long run prices, we see dramatic falls. The typical farm has $86,000 of revenue, and the 100% cash rent farm with $275 cash rent goes to $40,000. So the fall is much, much higher for the cash rent farm, primarily because they're bearing all of the risk, and the rents on those farms aren't adjusting.
So in summary, the projected 2012 prices for $5.40 per bushel for corn and $11.70 for soybeans results in above-average incomes, and most farms would have very good financial incomes. Price reductions to long-run averages result in lower incomes, particularly for farms with higher percentages of cash rent. At high cash rents, farms with 100% of their acres cash rented have negative incomes. Lower prices would result, of course, in further reductions in net incomes. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Matt Kunish from the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Matt, I know that you folks are purchasers for corn, beans, other crops and commodities in the area to feed into the elevator. Are you also responsible in the same light for purchasing what goes into the ethanol side of the facility?
Yeah, from this office we buy for two ethanol facilities and two rail facilities where we buy the corn, beans, and wheat, obviously.
So I want you to look out, and I suspect you have already, to the 2012 crop, far enough out for new crop in December, September, that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
What do the margins look like for your plant at that point, and what do you do at this to start planning? If anything at this point?
Probably nothing at this point. It's hard enough to plan for after the first of the year when the credit goes away, let alone what will happen to nat gas prices and everything else between now and then. Now I know you can go out there and pre-hedge a lot of your ethanol on that, but the liquidity out there is pretty rough. You may be able to hedge some, but for the most part, it's going to be pretty rough, and you're not going to be able to lay off a lot of that risk.
No, we'll come back, since you mentioned it, to January when the blender's credit goes away. What kind of planning do you do for that?
I mean, you can still pre-sell. Obviously, the closer time frame, there's a lot more liquidity. Obviously, you've probably already bought your nat gas or locked in a hedge of some sorts. So there are still margins there. If you sell ahead, if you run completely in the spot market, I'm not quite sure what will happen when we get there. I think there will be a lag time. Right now, it feels like the oil companies who receive the blending credit are most likely over-blending and stockpiling a little bit. Now, when this credit goes away, I assume that they're going to slow down their blend or bring it back to more what the government mandate is rather than over-blending the way they have been. So the way that will impact the market, I think there will be a lag time there. I think there will still be good margins, but they will definitely be reduced compared to what they are today.
How much of a lag time? Are we talking 10 or 15 days or a month? Or
I'm thinking, yeah, more like 30 to 60 days, somewhere in there.
All right, so that would put us into the February marketing time frame, which might not be so good for setting crop insurance prices either, I would suppose.
It could be rough. Now, obviously, we'll see the January report. See what the January report does with the yield. However, I think it's not going to be a big surprise if they add some more on to the carryout with the way the exports have been going here recently. I don't think that'll be a big surprise. So to be honest with you, I'm not looking for a major shift higher or lower here. Before February, maybe 30 cents either way, but that's kind of what I'm looking at right now.
And your bids for the day?
Delphi corn, 617, Climbers corn, 625, and Delphi beans at 1115.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Kunish is with the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations for now. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Moose Day. It's also St. Andrew's Day, patron of fishermen. This day in agricultural history in 1838 marked the Great Pastry War. The conflict between Mexico and France was caused by a French pastry cook who claimed that some Mexican army soldiers had damaged his restaurant. The Mexican government refused to pay for the damages. France decided to do something about it and sent a fleet to Veracruz and fired on the fortress outside the harbor. France was eventually, with the help of Great Britain, paid a payment of 600,000 pesos for the damages. In 1866, John Mercer died, an English chemist. He invented a process for treating cotton that made it stronger and shrink-resistant. In 1875, A.J. Erickson patented an oat-crushing machine, which used a series of horizontal knives to shear the grain. In 1899, Andrew Moyer was born, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for USDA, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation through the continuous shaking of corn steep liquor and lactose. And in 1967, Casimir Funk died. Funk was a Polish-American biochemist who came up with the word vitamine, later changed to vitamin. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us. It's been wet and rainy, but the sunshine was out at least this morning here for a while. What do you think about the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa area?
Well, it certainly looks at this point that there will continue to be a little break here, but it's not going to last for very long. We still are in a wet weather mode, believe it or not, at least for the heart of the eastern Midwest. Iowa certainly has not been included in that up to this point in time. But we do have a storm system that is going to brew here on Friday into Saturday in the heart of hard red wheat country, and it's going to work its way northeastward from there. We'll pass through a big part of Iowa, Missouri, parts of Illinois, on its way over to Michigan. The greatest amounts of moisture with this system will initially be in areas from Kansas to southeastern Iowa and northern Illinois. And then the system will kind of break down a little bit and then reestablish itself further to the south over the delta, and will come up from there to the northeast, passing into parts of West Virginia and Pennsylvania. So that latter surge of precipitation will likely take place a little bit later in the weekend and early next week, whereas the brunt of the main storm will be from Friday into Saturday, coming out of the Central Plains to the heart of the Midwest. I don't know if you followed all that or not, but there's a little area in between that doesn't get a tremendous amount of moisture, but will get some. That's from Missouri into northern Indiana and southeastern Michigan. And the area we're most concerned with right now is in the parts of the Delta and also a small portion of the Ohio River Basin, where we have saturated soil. We've already had some flooding around, and this storm system coming up for late in the week and early next week is only going to exacerbate the situation with some 1 to 3 inch amounts possible.
Take me out to the western plains, the hard red winter growing regions from Texas all the way northward. They actually had a pretty decent start after a while to get the crop up and growing. But now we're looking towards dormancy, and the cold weather is arriving.
That's right. And most of the wheat crop is in better shape than anyone expected in early September. At least I should speak only of myself here, but I do think the crop is in better shape than I was looking for. We do have another storm system, like I mentioned before, that will be moving across that region here this weekend, and mostly Friday, late Friday and Saturday, will produce significant snowfall for parts of Kansas, Colorado, and some immediate neighboring areas, probably talking about upwards to 8 inches, maybe some local amounts to 11. So lots of snow there. Some bitter cold air coming in behind the system, but obviously the snow will be in place, so it shouldn't be a big issue. And I think the moisture with this storm system, along with the one that occurred earlier in the past week, will certainly help to make sure that we've got some moisture to work with in the spring.
And finally, please take a quick look at South America.
Yep, the situation there continues to look unusually good for a La Nina year, and I continue to be concerned about that. I don't think we're going to continue on easy street for a whole lot longer. The second half of December and into January looks to be a little bit of a drier bias period. It may still generate some timely showers, but I don't think we're going to be nearly as favorable on soil moisture as we are today. So the conditions will stay good for another week to 10 days, and I think we'll probably be looking at a little more dryness, and the market might have something to talk about for a while.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.